Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's July 2nd, 2018. You know what that means? It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for June 2018. As always, we review pertinent markets, important markets, judge their performance both on a monthly basis, quarterly, and annual, try to draw opinions, insights, and ways that you can capitalize upon this information. Mickey, happy July.
We're already halfway through the year, Kerry. It's my how time flies.
Yeah, hey, it's almost enough to make you feel old.
That it is.
Yeah, but hey, as always, time moves on. Time waits for no man or woman or other person of indeterminate, you know what? Time waits for no one. We'll just put it that way.
Righto, Kerry.
I mean, according to Facebook, there's 57 genders, among which peanut butter rates very high towards the top. But more importantly, our markets, looking at the share markets for June, it's a mixed picture. We have a divergence popping up. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, Trump's trade tariff talk is taking a toll on the major markets for the most part, with the Dow muddling about once again, close at 24,271 for a 0.6% loss and almost a 2% loss year to date. S&P 500 coming off its all-time high a few months ago is once again mucking about, 27.18, 0.5% loss, but it actually is up 1.6% over the year. The divergence you're talking about is with the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000. Both those indices hit all-time highs about 10 days ago before they gave back some ground over the last week or so. But yet the NASDAQ closed at 75.10, up 8.8% year to date. And the Russell 2000, after underperforming for quite some time, it looks like Trump's deregulation and tax cuts are starting to have effect. That index soared over the month, but then actually closed at 1643 for a 7.5% gain on the quarter, 0.6% over the month, but 6.1% over the year. So we're seeing a divergent from the blue chips, the broader index, with the high techs and small caps.
All right. So it's interesting. It seems like the market's chasing its tail about tariffs, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think my personal opinion is all of that is really overblown, and it's just whatever grabs the headline of the day. But interestingly enough, markets in Canada picked up a little bit, other markets down. I mean, this is really a mixed picture of the markets, which is unusual. Could be a potential warning sign, huh?
Well, it could be, but in particular, let's look at the Toronto Big Board, the Toronto Stock Exchange. Despite rising oil prices, the Canadian economy really hasn't participated. The loonie is at about 76 cents right now. It was above 80 a couple of months ago. But the Toronto Stock Exchange rebounded from being oversold. And a broker I know up in Edmonton, Canada, Edmonton, Alberta, Russ Dratwall, writes a weekly missive, and he pointed out an interesting thing a couple of weeks ago, that the Toronto Stock Exchange is basically a small cap proxy, and perhaps that's the reason it had a very good month, up 1%, up almost 6% on the quarter, but only up 0.4% over year to date. So a small cap proxy would tie in with the Russell 2000, but it has a bit of an international flavor to it. Meanwhile, the Toronto Venture Exchange, 52-week low on low volumes, no interest, not going anywhere. I think we're waiting for Labor Day and hopefully higher precious metal prices, particularly gold, which drives that index. Mm-hmm. The emerging markets continue to get hit, down 7.5% over the half, and a whopping 4.5% this month to close at 1072. And certainly trade wars have a lot to do with that. Finally, the VIX, we talked about how the S&P 500 is just mucking about, vacillating up one day, down the next day, but not a lot either way. The VIX closed at 16. And we expect that to remain low as the summer doldrums come into full swing here.
Yes, sell in May and go away. It looks like it's going to come true yet again, doesn't it?
It's looking that way for sure.
So then we go to our currencies and got a lot to say about that. It's all connected. So let's talk about our currencies.
Yeah, the dollar had another good month, a good quarter, up 4.5% over the quarter, up only 2.5% over the year, but it's really been on a run here over the last couple of months. And that has really affected the metals prices. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. The dollar strength is not so much the strength of the dollar, I think, but weakness in the euro. Lots of problems in the eurozone. Weak economies, they are starting to ease their stimulus. They still have negative interest rates. And I think the headline of the month could be the pigs are back. You remember back in the day,
yeah.
The pigs, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greek, and Spain. Well, at least four of those five right now are causing extreme problems with the euro. It closed at 117 flat, but it's lost a whopping 5% over the quarter and 2.5% over the year. 10-year treasury couldn't hold 3% that we saw for about a week in mid-May. It finished at 2.84 for a 0.4% gain, but still that's 18% gain over the year. And finally, Bitcoin took it in the shorts again, both literally and figuratively, closed at 62.04. Carrie, all I can say about it is this is not money. It lost 56% over the half.
Hey, but look, last year it went up, like a couple thousand percent. Hey, isn't that what you want your money to do? It went up 1,395% last year, 122% the year before. I mean, hey, I thought Bitcoin always went up. It was like housing prices, like the stock market, like all those good things. And yet, the moment that they start futures trading on cryptocurrencies, bad things seem to happen to Bitcoin.
Yep. And liquidity is a problem. So it is not money, because one of the characteristics of money is it has to be fungible. It has to be tradable. And I hear lots of complaints among millennials that I know they're not able to sell their Bitcoin when they want to sell it.
And that is a problem, because if you want to sell your dollars, in other words, trade your dollars for goods, whatever the good is, any place in the world, they're going to take your dollars. Try that with Bitcoin, not so much. So therefore, the key element of money, meaning universal acceptance or near universal acceptance, it's not present. It's not a medium of exchange. Therefore, it is not money. Therefore, it is, quote unquote, an asset and a speculative asset at that. And for the time being, until the Starbucks crowd decides to take Bitcoin for your latte, it ain't going to be money. And that's what you and I have been saying for like years now, Mickey.
Yeah, and we didn't participate in a bubble, so we didn't make any money. But by the same token, we didn't lose any money.
Yeah. Nominal participation on my part.
Okay.
Not meaningful, but just to have a couple of coins just so I could say I was there. and right. have a little bit of credibility. But hey, then we go to metals. You know, the thing that's been money for 5,000 years, although not in the past 80 some odd years, gold, you know, the metals really took it last month.
A lot of this had to do with U.S. dollar strength, gold down 3.5% over the month. It actually hit a 7-month low on Friday of 1252, down 5.5% over the quarter. And if we look, DXY was up almost 5% over the quarter. So we're seeing very strong negative correlation. For those that want to explore this further, in my near-term forecasts, I published a musing about a week ago called Why Gold Ain't Going Anywhere Anytime Soon. So I think we're looking at a flat to negative gold price through the end of the summer doldrums here. Silver was down almost 2% over the month. It closed at 1609. It's lost almost 5% over the year. Big underperformer once again was platinum. It reached a 2.5-year low on Friday, Kerry, closed at 852. We haven't seen this, like I said, for 2.5 years, down almost 6% over the month, 8.1% over the year. And we'll talk a little about the ratios later on, but it's really affected some of the ratios we track. And finally, trade tariffs is weighing on the industrial metal space, and that would include palladium. After coming off its all-time high back in early January, the trade tariffs really knocked it down 10.1% so far this year. It closed at 948. Copper also affected by trade tariff talk. And also, there are no supply disruptions year to date. Quite unusual. Copper closed at $3. It's down almost 8% on the year in backwardation through February. But one thing pending are Chilean labor contracts with two of the three or four largest mines in the world. So the copper price is in a bit of flux right now. It can't decide which way it wants to go. It hit a 6-month high in mid-month on news that there was imminent strikes in Chile, but those rumors went away, and so it's up and down, pretty much range bound between $3 and $3.25.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. All the commodities really took it. And yet we go to our energy sector, which is by far the star performer of the month. And we see some pretty interesting numbers there.
Well, black gold, Texas tea, whatever you want to call it, was the big performer on the month. WTI up 10.7% over the month, whopping 16% over the quarter, 23.5% over the year. U.S. production reached a record 10.9 million barrels per day over the last couple of weeks. Number of rigs drilling is flattened out, and it's actually gone down over the couple of weeks. Big news mid-month was OPEC production increases, but when it all turned out, their million-dollar increase in production was more than balanced from geopolitical reasons that oil is not reaching market in Iran, Venezuela, Libya, and then there was an accident at a Syncrude plant in Alberta, which knocked a big portion of Canadian production off. So it all balanced out. The oil bulls really like that. Brent to WTI has that arbitrage has settled back down after it reached a couple year high last month. Brent closed at 79.44, up 2.5% over the month, 18.5% over the year. Henry Hub gained a little bit, closed at 292. It actually hit $3 a couple of times during the month, really dependent on weather at this time of year. If we look year to date, though, Henry Hub is only up 0.3%. finally, there was lots of positive news from the uranium patch. It briefly went above $23, closed at $22.68. But still, that's up over 7% over the quarter, but down 5.5% over the year.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what do you draw from all of this action in the energy patch and uranium? What are you thinking?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I think WTI, the upside is still in. The bulls are in control of the market. You know, we're still lots of demand, averaging something projected 1.7% growth in oil demand this year, despite U.S. shale, which is going to supply most of that. The Saudis and the rest of OPEC are evidently wanting $80 oil. I think my opinion is we will reach that at some point this year. Probably the encouraging thing I see, Kerry, is that oil often leads the other commodities. And we've seen all the other commodities, precious and base metals, down this year, down significantly this year from anywhere from 5 to 8%, something like that. So I'm looking for oil to kind of lead those commodities into what I still think is an incipient bull market.
Yeah, I tend to think you're right. Obviously, it's unusual for oil to be going up along with the dollar. So we have to pay close attention to the dollar. In prior years, cycles where oil went up dramatically, we saw it was at least partly the result of a weakening dollar. So does that mean that the dollar is going to go down here? I'm not willing to say that, but I think it does bear watching for sure. So finally, we look at our ratios. Our ratios are pointing, there's a couple of significant ones there that you were kind enough to mark in yellow for me. Gold to silver ratio down a little bit. The platinum to gold ratio, you should talk about that a bit.
Well, it hit an all-time low here, 0.68, since 1970-71, when gold was removed from fixation on the U.S. dollar. So all-time low, I think that's significant. Certainly, we would expect platinum to gain at some point. But with these dips in gold, I've changed my tune now, and I've been buying gold over the last couple of weeks as it keeps reaching these year-to-date and could be soon 52-week lows. Today, Monday, July 2nd, gold now is at 1244, which would be another seven-month low. If it gets to below 1240, that's going to be resistance. Going on to the energy ratios, I talked a little bit of Brent to WTI, how that arbitrage had eased somewhat. It's 1.07 after coming off a plus three-year high last month at 1.15. And WTI to Henry Hub is at 25 now, and that's the highest it's been since before the market crash in oil in Q4 of 2014. Finally, gold to WTI is a little less than 17, and we've talked a lot about that historic ratio of 13, and my question is, are we working toward the historic number of 13 to 1? In other words, 13 barrels of oil buy you an ounce of gold. It looks like we're headed that way.
And that would be quite, well, we haven't seen that since 2013-14, where the ratio went down that low. So that's interesting, but the jury is out. I guess we'll just have to see what's going to happen next here. Anyway, that's it for this month's major market review. And go over to Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com. His Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo, and subscribe to his site. Really good information there. Doesn't cost you anything. Hey, come over to our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. And while you're there, you know, subscribe to the podcast feed as well. Easy to do. Just go to iTunes, type in Financial Survival Network. Comes up. Keep clicking subscribe until you're actually subscribed. Gets delivered to your machine automatically. Oh, and by the way, be part of the show. Any questions or comments from Mickey or myself on pricing trends, just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. Mickey, we will catch you the same time next month.
I look forward to it, Carrie.
All right, and I'll see you in Vancouver in a couple of weeks. Be well.
Looking forward to that, too. Thanks, Carrie. Bye.